Chapter 14, Meditation, Technique of Meditation. A human stands out supreme amongst all living beings by virtue of possessing both gross and subtle intellects. The intellect is the faculty of thinking, reasoning, judging, deciding. It is designated as gross when this faculty operates in the terrestrial realm, as the thinking is confined to the precincts of the world, and when it transcends the terrestrial world to conceive the transcendental, it is termed subtle. The subtle intellect distinguishes the eternal from the ephemeral, the real from the unreal. It is used in meditation to attain spiritual enlightenment. No other being possesses this unique faculty. At best, animals can claim to have a rudimentary gross intellect. That with which a dog distinguishes its master from a stranger, food from dirt, etc. But it cannot stretch beyond that, beyond the minuscule part of the terrestrial world. No animal possesses a subtle intellect. The mind is merely a continuous flow of thoughts. It acts like a film in a movie projector. The film consists of a series of pictures. These pictures passing through the light in a projector project the movie on the screen. The rapid movement of the pictures produces the solidarity of the projection. A similar projection is this world. Your mind is like the film, and your thoughts the pictures. The rapid movement of thoughts through the light of consciousness, the self, creates the solid, substantial world. Where there is no thought flow, no mind, there is no world. Even when the mind is temporarily cut off, the world is no more, as in deep sleep. When the thoughts are completely eradicated from the mind, the world disappears. The light of consciousness alone remains. You realize your divine self. The mind of the present generation is in a chaotic state. People's thoughts run wildly in all directions, seeking material gain and sensual pleasure, which causes the mind to be agitated. An agitated mind cannot concentrate, much less meditate. The strategy of meditation is to converge the mind to single thought and ultimately annul it. The practice of meditation therefore requires a mind free from the pressures of extroverted pursuits. A mind that remains calm, composed, and has turned introvert. One attains that state through sustained physical, mental, and intellectual disciplines. By practicing karma, bhakti, and jnana yogas, the paths of action, devotion, and knowledge. A mind thus turned introvert is made to chant a mantra, a word symbol representing the supreme god, Brahman. The chant is known as japa. You could choose a mantra that inspires you most. In japa, the mind repeats the mantra. The intellect observes, witnesses the single thought flow. During the chant, the mind may slip into other thoughts. It has the tendency to wander away. The intellect is employed to pull the mind back to the chosen line of thought. Thus, by repeated effort, the mind is kept focused on the chant. Meditation is the art of maintaining the mind in focus upon a chosen thought to the exclusion of all other thought. In the process of meditation, the chant is gradually brought to mental whisper to finally end in silence. The intellect remains aware of the entire proceeding until the moment of silence is reached. The silence is cessation of thought flow, which indicates extinction of the mind. The intellect, which has been observing the chant, also ceases, as there is nothing for it to observe. What remains is pure silence, pure awareness, pure consciousness, the absolute reality, Brahman. Meditation is a scientific technique to exhaust your thoughts and expose the Supreme Self within. The intellect plays an all-important role in it. Maintaining its control on the mind during the entire procedure. Meditation, therefore, is not a mere mechanical repetition of a mantra. The human mind has a tendency to be drawn to a particular object or being, tangible or intangible, even towards a deity, and its thoughts start to flow in that direction. If the intellect does not exercise its control over the mind, the thought flow continues. The mind has its way. It can cherish the thought of the object continuously for a period of time, as young lovers do. This is mere emotional indulgence, mental infatuation. When the mind runs in the direction of its desired object without the awareness of the intellect. Whereas meditation requires a disciplined effort by the practitioner. The intellect needs to be alert to keep the mind's focus on the chant, prevent it from slipping into any other thought. Such programmed, disciplined concentration on the chosen mantra is meditation. Uncontrolled, indisciplined thought flow is mental indulgence, whereas controlled, disciplined thought flow is concentration, is meditation. Both are flow of thoughts, but of opposite nature. They produce conflicting results. Mental indulgence increases your desires, while meditation raises your desires. They act like diarrhea and purgative. Seemingly the same, but with a distinct difference. Diarrhea is a disease, while purgative is a remedy. Likewise, thoughts running after the world unchecked by a discerning intellect increases your desires, creates mental instability, whereas disciplined thought flow governed by the intellect decreases your desires. Finally, the practice of meditation annihilates your last desire and regains your Supreme Self. You cannot practice single-pointed meditation until you have risen well above attachment and desire. When your mind becomes free from worldly attraction and entanglement, remains under the control of the intellect, and you are objective in your transactions of life, the progress and success in meditation is therefore directly proportional to the preparation of the mind. Your mind must be cleansed before you reach the seat of meditation. The purer the mind, the easier it is to practice meditation. Purity of mind means rendering it free of desire and expectation, means renunciation, nothing less. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, assures Christ. You must first gain the purity of mind. But people directly try to meditate without the initial preparation, without purifying their mind. They will not give up their attachment and desire, their hope and expectation, yearning and craving. They will not pay the price for what they seek. Those extroverted people living a material and sensual life wish to become the Buddha overnight. Meditation is the highest spiritual practice. It requires premeditative preparation. Your mind must be rendered equanimous to be able to meditate effectively. To plunge into meditation directly without preparation is futile, even detrimental. The time spent in meditation is a small part of the day. The rest of the day you are preoccupied with worldly activity. Your activity during the day tells upon your practice of meditation. Egocentric, selfish activity agitates your mind, and an agitated mind cannot meditate, whereas selfless, sacrificial activity makes your mind calm and composed, renders it conducive for meditation. The human mind is ulcerated by self-centered activity. Meditation cannot help heal the ulcerated mind if the activity during the day continues to be selfish. Just as a wound treated by a surgeon can never heal if you keep scratching and irritating it the rest of the day. This is the sad plight of those who claim to practice meditation, who sincerely try to meditate every day, while all day they indulge in desired and selfish activity. That ruins their effort in meditation. Continuing this way, their mind develops frustration, bitterness. They turn into ugly caricatures in life.